Howdy do, buckaroos. It is once again time for the after show with Mike and Kelly. I am Kelly. With me as always is Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Kelly. How's it going?
I'm not even sure anymore because...
We tried so many times and...
No, mostly it's just because I've spent like the last 2 to 3 weeks pretty solidly listening to hammering.
Really?
Upon my house. And yeah, it really gets distracting when you are trying to accomplish things in your day and you can hear and feel the jackhammering that's happening in your driveway.
That is almost always the most attention-grabbing thing happening in your immediate environment, unless you are being consumed by a giant squid or a kraken or some sort of sea beast. That would be more distracting. That would be more of pulling focus than jackhammering in your driveway. But other than that, jackhammering in the driveway pretty much takes the cake.
Yeah. So aside from Mr. Kelly and I doing a bunch of our own sort of yard projects and landscaping projects and things around Shea Verso, we also had some other things that needed to happen that we decided to pull the trigger on kind of altogether this year. So we got a new roof. That was less jackhammering, but more regular hammering, and also some walking around on the ceiling, which is a very disconcerting thing to hear.
Walking on the ceiling? you mean not the... the Michael Jackson song Dancing on the Ceiling, because that is not disconcerting. That is delightful and charming.
It's also not Michael Jackson. It's Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie. Dang it. Michael Jackson is off
Michael
the wall.
Michael Jackson. What are you talking
Michael
about?
Jackson is living off the wall.
Yes.
Lionel Richie is dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Only Bing Crosby could bring them both together and dance all the way around the house. But you're right. You're completely right. Dancing on the Ceiling, Lionel Richie. Off the wall, Michael Jackson. Apologies. Apologies to all the fans out there. We are literally less than 2 minutes into the show and already I've committed a faux pas. So this is going well.
I say Mike going well. Looks forward to your letters.
Never not true, however, especially true in this circumstance. Okay,
yeah.
So the renovation situation, what's going on?
Yes. So, was the roof. We had the roof done and that was fine. And it was a little weird. Like I said, to hear footsteps and then realize that they were coming from the roof, which was a little bit odd at first.
Yeah.
So we had that done. And then a hunk of the driveway replaced and the front step in front of the front door was and the walk to the driveway was also replaced, which is where all the jackhammering came in. And then there was the... pouring of the concrete for that. So first of all, they jackhammered it all out and they were like, yeah, we'll be back in like two or three days to pour the concrete. And then it started pouring rain. Apparently monsoon season came early to Portland. Ugh. And so it just poured rain. So for like a week and a half now, we've just been sort of waiting for nice enough weather. And yesterday was the day. So we got the concrete poured and it's super great. And I'm so excited to have a front step that is not awkward anymore. And it was a nice front step before the people who lived here before us added a security door that opens outward. Mm. So there was nowhere for you to go when I opened the door.
Yeah.
And like, trick-or-treating aside, it just always made it weird whenever anybody wanted to come into the house. It was always bizarre. So it's way better now. I'm very happy. And that happening. And then also yesterday we had... a roof put over the stairwell on the back of the house. And that was also a bunch of hammering and a little bit more of that today. So, yeah.
Goodness.
Much hammering. So many people. So much juggling. Oh, gutters. Gutters were in there somewhere after we got the roof. We also had to get new gutters. So the gutters were a thing that happened. And, yeah. So it's been quite the summer because... On top of all of that stuff was we pulled out a bunch of grass and like stuff that we did ourselves. We pulled out a bunch of grass and made the lawn a much more reasonable prospect to mow, which I know because I have an app called Mowing Meter by Vic Hudson. Hi, Vic Hudson. which will tell you how much time you have spent or wasted, depending on your point of view, mowing the lawn. And it tracks your steps and your distance. And so it knows that in the times when I would let the lawn get a little longer than it should be, and I could only mow like half a width of lawnmower at a lap, you know, it was 1.1 miles to mow my melon farming yard. And that's aside from the actual melon farming, which sometimes happens.
The half-muted snort was melon farming, a euphemism up there with I am sick and tired of these Monday to Friday snakes on the
I thought that was melon farming.
Monday to Friday plane. Maybe it's melon. It's not melon farming snakes. It's something else.
Okay, but I thought that's Monday, where I got it.
It's the Monday to Friday plane.
One of my other favorite TV edits is from The Big Lebowski, which I don't know why anyone ever thought was a good idea to put on television. On television where you have to edit. Mm-hmm. And it's the part where John Goodman's character loses it all over the Porsche.
Yes.
And he yells at Larry, "This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps." Because that's not a weird enough movie without that sort of declaration in the middle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I have heard that one myself. Like, I have listened to that and been like, wait. And, like, backed it up again and went, did I just hear what I just heard?
Actually what he said? And then you're thinking back, it's like, wait a minute, I've seen this movie and I don't remember a subplot about the Alps. They talk about Vietnam. Yeah. Not the Alps. That's weird. Just weird. It's weird. And so of course we're referring in this case to the bowdlerization or the creative censorship as opposed to bleeping out the offending word or phrase in a film. Actually replacing it with dubbed or looped dialogue, which was in many cases recorded by the original performers, either, you know, immediately during a looping session for the film. So they, in addition to looping dialogue that they needed to re-record because the on set or on the shoot at the location, on location is what I was striving for, the audio that was captured live was not sufficiently clear or usable. So actors frequently have to loop. They have to go in and re-record themselves saying their lines, matching their mouth movements. Not an easy or fun process, then having to do it again, leaving out all the dirty words. And the creativity of some of these films in trying to make themselves palatable to a before 10 p.m. broadcast television audience. The one, of course, we were referring to earlier is the classic Snakes on a Plane.
Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson referring to a Monday to Friday plane. Ow! Why did I whack the microphone so hard? So hard. You know why? I'll tell you why.
I don't mean to mock your pain.
You can mock it. It's because I'm wearing my Apple Watch on my right wrist for a change. To allow,
and now you're all out of balance. What?
Well, no, because I don't expect my right arm. My right arm has a bump on it. My right wrist has a little bump. That was what collided with the microphone arm. But just this week, when I was I was in Massachusetts. This is the beginning of a longer story. But I will just say that I was with a small group of people, and someone mentioned that their watch band was irritating them, and I took my watch off my left wrist and showed contact eczema. Like in the exact same spot, which is actually where the band, like where the one part of the band goes under the other part of the band. And mm-hmm. they said, "Oh my God." And that was like, okay, it's good. If I've got a red spot in the same place for 2 weeks, I should probably move the watch to the other wrist. And that's of course what I did. But
I had to do that and I couldn't deal.
Yeah. Was it throwing you off too much? Well, you're already as a left-handed person, a left-handed American, or shall we say, a sinestro American. By the way, for listeners who don't know, dexter and sinister, Latin for right-handed, right and left. So when you say someone is dexterous, you're talking about the right hand, and sinister, you're talking about the left hand, creepy, and no implicit linguistic bias there whatsoever. Anyway,
not even a little. And let me also point out that publishing terms for like when you open a book, mm-hmm. There is a left hand side and a right hand side, and the right hand side is recto and the left hand side is verso.
And you will also see, if you are a glasses wearer, you'll see your prescriptions say OD and OS for the prescriptions, which could just say left eye, right eye and left eye, but instead stand for Oculus Dexter and Oculus Sinister in Latin.
Yes.
However, as a Sinestro American, you spend your time interacting with the world in a state of low-level physical irritation for things that are designed and engineered for the majority right-handed people.
And yeah, so, but mostly I'm not irritated. Like, I just find ways around it. I mean,
well, right, you work around it, but then when you switch something that is so intimately connected to your person as your watch, mm-hmm. you can't deal. It's too much.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also just that I do wear my watch every day, morning to night. And so I have it on all day, every day. Part of the reason I'm more diligent about wearing gloves when I do work in the yard and stuff is not, oh, my fingernails or anything about like messing up my hands or, you know, getting dirt on anything. It's that my gloves cover up my watch, so I make sure my watch doesn't get messed up. And so, like, it has very little to do with actually my hands. But I was having some trouble with my right wrist, and I put a wrist brace on, and I'm like, well, it's never going to record my stand hours if I don't, you know, if I don't put my watch on the other arm. And I put it on my left arm, and I swear to you, it was like the entire time it was going, hey, I'm on the wrong arm. Hey, yeah, hey,
I'm here,
hey,
I'm here.
Like a toddler, like, hey, 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 hey. And the whole time, like, and it was like churning cycles in my brain of like, this isn't right. I have to fix it. I can't fix it because I have to wear this thing on my other arm. Okay, we have to fix this. Like, over and over and over and over. And it sucked. And there came a point where I was like, do I give up my move streak because this is really bothering me? Like, God. it was terrible. And then, like, eventually I just sort of, like, sat with it for a little while and you know, had to adjust. And it at first it was really, really hard. And I have had to wear it the other way. The footnote to the Apple Watch and Kelly is that when they were announced, Dave Hamilton of the Mac Observer infamy was at the event. No, of Mac Observer fame, of Cirque du Mac infamy, was at the event. And that seems like a more appropriate assessment. And he was there. And so the first thing that I asked him was, do they have left-handed so I can wear it the other way? Like, the first thing out of me, like, we were like, he went into Slack and was like, hey, who wants to know stuff? And mine was like, is there a way for a left-handed person to wear this watch? I need one, you know, like, bad. And that was like the first thing out of my mouth, like, as fast as I could type it, like, Dave. So he tracked somebody down, and yes, there's a left-handed, oh, thank God. Like, at least, so, and then, of course, in the back of my mind, it's like, there was a left-handed person on the team, which is why they made that a possibility, because otherwise, you know, because you can tell how many women were on the health team when that started, is all I'm saying. So,
So, to whoever the sinister person is on the Apple Watch team, we salute you.
Yes!
We salute you with our left hands.
Yes.
As is appropriate.
As one does. And I also know, isn't it our own Laurie Duncan, the lovely and talented Mac Samurai, who's also left-handed? Because I showed off my watch, and I think she was the one that said, like, right arm, crown down into the left, that is correct, or something like that was her comment when I posted it on, like, Instagram or something.
I believe Laurie is left-handed. I'm not 100% certain, but we will ask her when the show comes out. By the way, hi, Laura Duncan. And then also, we'll do a couple highs quickly. Hi, Dave McGee, who wanted to make sure he got the list this week.
Oh, Dave McGee, yes.
And hi, Daedry. Hi, Phone Boy. Hi, Brittany. And in this case, hi, Chris Fuller.
And also, hi, Info Driveway, and Diane. I don't want to forget both of them.
Hey, Lenny.
So, yes.
And hey, Kelly.
Hi, Lenny. Hi, Javi.
Lenny, by the way, Lenny is moving, and we're very sad. He will no longer be neighbor Lenny. He will be
neighbor Lenny.
He will be distant Lenny. But we're excited for him and for.
Will he be in the vicinity?
Lenny? He will not. He is moving. He's moving to north of the city. But we're looking forward to meeting the new neighbors who sound lovely.
But you will have to Lenny from afar.
We'll have to. Wasn't that an early Jennifer Lopez album or B side? Lenny from afar.
Lenny from afar.
No, it's the B side of Jenny from the Block.
Maybe it could have been. But however lovely the new neighbors are they in a band?
I don't know. I will find out.
Yeah, Kelly, they are. It's Vampire Weekend. Mike, you have to move.
I'd be surrounded. So the reason we're specifically shouting out Chris Fuller is because he brought to our attention a new app.
Yes.
So for those who are in the know, we record the show nowadays using Cast, TriCast, TryCast, which
come is behind the curtains with us, kids.
Yeah, it's a very handy web-based tool for podcasting in that it lets you do up to a four-way recording with essentially no software. We do use Loopback from Rogue Amoeba to do some device merging.
Jiggery pokery,
so we can easily.
But also, hi, Paul, because I talked to Paul at Dub Dub, and
hey, Paul.
It's his own fault. He asked me what I wanted out of Audio Hijack and you know Loopback and these sorts of software, and I was like, Paul, if you ask me, I'm just going to tell you. And he said, please tell me. So, Paul, I apologize, but you brought it on yourself. I will say Mike does the legwork on this piece of it with TriCast. And what happens is he texts me a link that I open in Chrome, and that works out the rest.
Yeah. So we're able to record. We have it's the call, the recording, basic editing after the fact, and some ability to normalize and to tweak the audio if we need to, and then actually does provide a published feed, which we don't yet use because we're still using Simplecast to deal with our feed. But we like TriCast. We like Cast. Cast is pretty cool. Cast is pretty easy. If I were using my hands instead of my legs, it would probably be even easier. But never mind that. The point is that in addition to this being our current platform for recording, we're always sort of on the march and looking for other new cool stuff. And so Chris Fuller, thank you, Chris Fuller, was able to point us to a video for a new app, a video from Adam Lesagor and Sandwich Video. So, you know, has the Sandwich seal of approval. But for a new app called Describe, which is not a web app, it's a desktop app, but it seems to be a different animal for podcasting in that rather than doing editing, like waveform style editing by default, what it does is lets you edit your podcast like a text file or a Google Docs document. And because it does live transcription or transcription after the fact. Mm-hmm. So you are reading the transcript of what you and your co-host or podcasting partner in crime said. And should you wish to amend it or edit it, you actually cut out the words from the transcript and it cuts out the audio from the podcast.
Editing the text just hashes out the corresponding hunks of audio that you no longer wish to have.
And in fact, with your own voice, not with anybody else's, with your own voice, you can actually synthesize net new words out of your own voice.
Whoa.
I'm not sure how that's going to work, but it looks fascinating. So thank you, Chris Fuller, for bringing it to our attention. We will probably try it out at some point. I don't know. But it looks really cool. The other sort of in our beat thing I wanted to mention, of course, is today as we're recording is 9/20, September 20th. It is new iPhone Day.
We call it Phonemas. Yes.
It's Phonemus. We call it Phonemus. And the iPhone 11 and 11 Pro are out. And I am struggling with this midlife crisis of I want an 11 Pro. I don't need it.
I'm getting one because I'm getting off the I'm getting off the every 2 year train.
Are you?
I am.
You're moving off the crazy train.
I am.
Onto the sane train.
I don't know how sane it is, but you know it may be in vain. Particularly because I decided this year was the year I wanted to make the jump, and I'm normally team evolution as opposed to team revolution. So I was on what we used to call the S track. I had, you know, the 4S and the 5S and the 6S and the 7S, I mean the 8. That was usually
as distinct from the S lady.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I used to be on the S track. Although initially the reason, you know, one of the earliest iterations of the S track was because the S was for her. For S lady. The 4S yes. was where we got the S lady.
Yes, that's true.
In Florida that time, believe it or not. So, you know, we were talking this morning when I was doing daily observations, we were talking about Phonemus, and one of the things that I mentioned, because I had sort of, and you know, it just sort of came up, and we were talking when we were discussing like new phones and getting them and things like that, was that I spent all day waiting in line at the Apple Store at Pioneer Place here in Portland to get my 3G.
My goodness.
And it was like literally all day in line, and I just remember being in that line. I remember waving at the guys from Panic because they were in that line. I remember, like, you know, and just sort of thinking about like how many phones and how many phone releases and how many things, like how much stuff has happened between then and now, and it's staggering to me where we're at, right? Like, you know, Austin Mann put out his review of it from China and, you know, basically was like, this is going to be everybody, you know, get this phone because this is going to be the backup camera for everybody, you know, and like save you a device because you can just use this instead of having this and a backup camera and whatever, you know, DSLR or whatever that you want to use.
Right.
So it's like looking at the evolution from then to now is just sort of crazy. You know, at that point, nobody was even thinking about passcodes for your device, and now you unlock it with your face. And
and by the way, you always could unlock it with your nose once we got Touch ID, but now you can unlock it with your face.
Yeah,
that's a little different. It's a different thing.
It is a little different. And just like watching, sort of having watched that evolve over time, and looking at you know, new every year and that kind of thing. This year I'm doing the payment program.
Yes.
So the Apple loan or what have you. And I managed to sleep through my alarm, so I don't get mine for another week or two. But at some point, I was cured of 0-day fever.
Yeah.
So I don't care that I don't have one today, because I know I'm getting one and I'm good with that. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But it's I'm always excited about it being 0-day, mostly because I'm always looking forward to the new operating system. That's usually, you know, regardless of whether this is the year I get a new phone or not, I'm always interested in what the new operating system is going to bring us. And this time, one of the biggest things I think it brings us is the massive evolution known as shortcuts.
Yes, for sure. A beyond macros, beyond a here's a quick way to do things. It's essentially a programming language for the device that you have with you all the time.
Yeah.
Except you don't need to be a programmer to take advantage of it, which is kind of cool.
It's super duper cool, especially if you've seen anybody use any of these, particularly if they do anything interesting. Watching that stuff happen to me is fascinating. I know a couple of people who have been on the shortcut train since before it left the station, basically. And, watching those shortcuts in action is spectacular, and it's really, really interesting to see how people who are fluent in this particular programming language, more or less. Mm-hmm. Take that and apply it to the stuff that they do all day, every day.
Yeah, and save themselves time, save themselves aggravation. I mean, I think David Sparks's book on shortcuts in iOS 13 is out now.
The field guide, yeah.
The field guide.
And it's like an interactive thing now. He has converted his stuff to a learning platform. So there's like videos and they mark your progress. I have a couple of others, which is why I know.
I mean, everything he puts out is fantastic and shows,
shows
a lot of craft and care. But I think this one has a bit of a multiplier effect because it's going to be about what you can do to make your own world better, you know, on an incremental basis. So there's another thing we can recommend.
I absolutely, any of David's field guides I totally recommend, but this one in particular, I'm only a little ways into because I sort of stayed away from shortcuts at first because the people I knew who were using them kept talking about how they had all these shortcomings. And I know. And like this basic thing that it should be able to do, there's no reason it shouldn't work and it doesn't work, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And so I kind of never dug into any of that. But now that it seems like it's gotten a lot better, I have signed up for Max Sparky to take me to shortcut school and I couldn't be more pleased. I'm only like a little ways into the actual learning piece of it, and so far I've seen a ton of stuff that seems like it's stuff that could be really useful. This is one of those things where it may feel like you are wasting time by setting up these things, but when you set up that thing once and you never have to set it up again and then it just works every time, you know, there comes a point where all of that effort that you put into the learning is going to start paying off for you. And so things like that, like Text Expander, Keyboard Maestro to do certain things, those are all you know, different ways to automate stuff that will absolutely just do nothing but pay off in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. So you are now off the every 2 year train.
I am.
You're going to get your shiny new device soon-ish, or the next couple of weeks. Here's the sort of decision process. I think we've talked about some of this before, but here's where we're at.
Yeah.
So I have a hand-me-down device at this point from my children because the upgrade path generally hits Mrs. Mike first. So she gets something new, and then it gets passed along to whichever kid has been waiting longer, and so forth. So at this point, we have, we sort of broke that cycle inadvertently because one kid had either a battery or a screen issue. I can't remember. I think it was a battery. Phone wouldn't charge.
This was the International Child of Mystery, if I'm not mistaken.
International Child of Mystery, yes.
Yes.
So Lulu had a phone that would not charge. That was a 6. We were in a situation where it was made sense to upgrade her anyway, so she got either an 8 or a 7. I'd have to look, but I think it was the 8 time frame. And I ended up with that 6 after the battery was replaced. So that became my personal phone. I don't use my personal phone very much now because it's an iPhone 6. And also I have a perfectly nice iPhone 8 Plus provided to me by my business, that I use all the time. So what gain I have from having this second phone is sort of minimal. Now we had to pay off Lulu's phone, as you, listeners of the show know. Tech Dad made a dumb mistake, and so now we have several phones that are fully paid off and unlocked. Mrs. Mike has an XR, which is relatively recent. So I have
It's a 10R, Mike. It's a 10R. Thank you.
God, what's wrong with me? XR.
I don't know, but Charlotte has the same issue, and she sort of willfully does it. And I think she likes to call it XR because she knows that, like, all the rest of us at Mac and Zip are like, it's 10, Charlotte. Yeah.
It's just 10.
Anyway, hi, Charlotte.
This is a 7. The 10R. Now you got me doing it, or I've got me doing it. The 10R replaced a 7, but so I've got an unlocked 7. I've got an unlocked 6. And you know, my situation is that I'm going to be traveling. I know in December I'm going to be going overseas. We're going to Israel. We're going to go visit Lulu while she's there.
Mm-hmm.
And our family carrier is AT&T, which would not natively or without additional expenditure of some sort would not support me being there.
Right.
So step one, which I actually did accomplish, I was proud of myself that I actually, you know, got over myself into this. Step one was moving my phone, my personal phone, off of AT&T.
Okay.
A family plan under AT&T, it was great, but it was still costing around in the vicinity of $40 to $45 a month for me to keep a phone on that plan that I basically was not using.
Yeah.
And to hold on to my number for iMessage, you know, it wasn't worth it. Fortunately, Altice Mobile just launched. I don't think we had a chance to talk about this in the last show because a while ago. Altice is Optimum, and aka Cablevision, aka your cable company for, you know, a quarter to a third of the country, of the country, happens to be my cable company.
All right.
So we have launched Altice Mobile, which is an MNVO,
mm-hmm.
virtual cell network. They're backed
MVNO,
by
MVNO.
MVNO, thank you.
Also, hi Ben Rothig, who's probably shouting at you right now.
Yeah, MVNO. Yes, Ben, I can hear you. MVNO. They're backed and they're running on primarily on AT&T, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
Roaming to Sprint when necessary, great. If the Sprint T-Mobile merger goes through, they'll roam to that as well.
Excellent.
But it's running on Altice's network. For backhaul, it's not using the cell networks. It's not using those providers. It's Altice's network, so they can save quite a bit of money. And so their plan for cable subscribers, if you are a cable subscriber of Altice's, you can have a line for $20 a month. Unlimited.
Hey, hey.
Which includes free roaming to about 20 countries, two of which are the countries I travel to most often, those being Germany and Israel.
Hey.
So now I have a phone, which is a 6, but it's unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
It has a plan that is cheap, even mm-hmm. with taxes and fees, not more than $25, $26 a month. It's cheaper than any other plan I could possibly get for that phone, T-Mobile, mm-hmm. other than a prepaid plan. But
right.
It's like it's cheaper than T-Mobile's cheapest. It's obviously cheaper than what I was paying on AT&T. It's cheap. So now I'm ready to take whatever phone I have and save money on that, and travel where I need to travel. This is all good.
Yeah.
But what I want, of course, is that camera.
Yep.
What I want is the triple threat iPhone 11 Pro
mm-hmm.
with that camera. That's what I feel, you know, I just had a big birthday. I did not buy myself a sports car. I did not, you know, rent an apartment for my other family or anything like that.
All you did was run a Tesla.
All I did was run a Tesla, which was a lot of fun.
Well, there might have been cake. I don't know. I mean,
there was cupcakes and barbecue, yeah. But that's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
The point is, I have a little bit of headroom when it comes to midlife crisis, and even for a phone that is not my everyday, my Monday to Friday phone, as it mm-hmm. were, being able to up my game from a photography perspective would be mm-hmm. awesome. And the fact is, $1,000, give or take, for a camera
mm-hmm. is very reasonable.
Very reasonable. Last time I bought myself a new camera was 7 years ago, and I probably paid that much. And I still have that camera, and I still use it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Will I still be using this phone as a camera 7 years from now? Probably not. Is it weird to pay $20 a month for the privilege of renting your own camera? I don't know that you paid for. But
are you about to have the most expensive iPod Touch?
No.
Because it feels like that's where you're going.
No. I mean, well, no. I'm gonna keep using it. I'm going to keep having a plan for it. But if I buy it outright, as opposed to putting it on a plan, I don't need to keep a plan for it if I don't want to.
Exactly.
I can't, but then I lose the phone number. So the idea here is to keep the phone number, keep the iMessage. It's worth approximately $20 a month to me to keep that phone number on iMessage because I've had that phone number for, you know, 15 years. Mm-hmm. So
even I have your cell phone number memorized.
I know. I've had that cell phone number for a long time. So
well, I used to have to type it in as the password every Sunday night. So, you know.
So all that said, I really think this is what I would like to do. I just need to convince myself that it is worth spending the money to get. And this is so funny because it's like a once in a decade thing now for me to spend the money to buy a phone for myself. I never do that. I'm buying phones for other people all mm-hmm. the damn time.
Right.
I never buy phones for myself. Ever,
but
ever,
you
ever.
Also have, I mean, you have what... You have something that's more than adequate for what you want to do, which is why this which is somehow what cured you of, you know, 0 day fever as well, I imagine.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, in fairness, I never had 0 day fever. I would show up and watch everybody experiencing it. I would experience it vicariously, and I would get to touch the new thing, and I'd be like, okay, cool, and I'd go back to using whatever I had, because I did not feel that I had to be part of that sort of puppet show of commerce, mm-hmm. the Punch and Judy of handing over a lot of money, because I was always primarily carrying a phone that was a work phone, and this has been true since
right.
this has been true since 2000. Mm-hmm. That even though I may have had a personal cell phone at various points in time, the phone I got in from work in 2000 or 2001 was BlackBerry. I had that. I had that BlackBerry until I got a Trio. Mm-hmm. I had the Trio and the Trio 650. Great phone. Palm Bay phone. Had that for
a
long time.
That was a good phone, yeah.
And then I think my first iPhone that I got through work was the iPhone 3G. Mm-hmm. And then it's been work iPhones since the iPhone 3G.
Right, which is why your house buys new phones, but they're never your phone because you already have one.
Because I already had one.
Right.
But work is not going to buy me anytime soon an iPhone 11 Pro to replace this perfectly good 8 Plus that mm-hmm. I have. So if I want it, and I feel like at this point I do want it, I'm going to have to go out and get it myself. So listeners, if you would like to reinforce the idea of me buying myself a phone, feel free to do that. If you would like to discourage or dissuade me from doing that, feel free to do that as well. You know, of course, know where to reach us. But the most important thing we have to tell the people this week, Kelly, because it is 9:20, is that should they or should they not, on their existing non-11 devices,
mm-hmm.
should they or should they not install iOS 13.0?
Well, first of all, a note on hardware. If you are considering, you know, if you're looking at your 6 or your 6S or other phone with a home button, to be honest, mm-hmm. If you have a phone with a home button and you're, and I'm going to assume that you have a home button with Touch ID, because come on.
What are we? What are we, cave people?
Well, only sort, I mean, Neanderthals don't have Touch ID. At least the cave people have Touch ID now. That's how far along we are. So here's the thing, is that if you have a Touch ID phone, now is an excellent time to look at upgrading, because this is our third iteration of hardware with Face ID. And it works really well. It functions, you know, like it works well enough that, and is reliable enough that it doesn't, people don't think about it anymore. You know, we had like the weird hurdles in the beginning with Touch ID. There were weird hurdles in the beginning with Face ID. All that stuff's been ironed out. It just gets faster and more convenient to use. So if you are considering it, the 11 is still an option. If you love your home button but still want a new phone, they are still selling the iPhone 8. And I think it's $449 for the intro level if you wish to remain team home button. And if you do, that's fine. I currently am team home button and I have never been sorry about it. The only thing that I was sorry I did not get by not moving to Face ID was any of the Memoji stuff, which is all very, very silly. And something I love very much. And if it weren't for the fact that Mr. Kelly had one that he let me put Memojis on regularly, and Animojis, then I would be super sad about it, and I would have a bunch of buyer's remorse about my 8. But otherwise, my 8, I mean my 7S, I mean my 8, is a great phone, and I've never had any complaints about it. So if you still want to be Team Home Button, you can do so. Get Touch ID and Apple Pay and all that good stuff.
I'm just going to interject one thing. If you are a person of a certain age, and I don't mean like mine and Kelly's age, I mean 70 or higher, you especially may not want a phone with a Touch ID home button, because as I have observed directly in helping my mom with her phone and her iPad, Touch ID for older folks becomes less and less reliable. Because their fingerprints are less and less consistent hour over hour and day over day due to wrinkling and dryness of the thumb or the index finger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredibly frustrating, because it's like, mom, use Touch ID. Don't keep putting in your passcode. She's like, yeah, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So Face ID is actually more sustainable over life cycle. And I don't mean the phone's life cycle. I mean the human being life cycle.
Yeah.
Than Touch ID. Although Touch ID is great and amazing, but it also has those edge cases where it breaks down. So anyway, sorry. Please continue.
No, it does. And so I just want to let people know. So like, we've had Face ID long enough. It's really reliable. I know loads of people who have Face ID. It works for them, no problem. Glasses, no glasses. Hat, no hat. Grew a beard, whatever. Like, all that stuff works. It's all fine. The thing we definitely want to talk about is iOS and 13.0. And that is, today, 13.0, or yesterday, I mean, iOS 13.0 was released. My stance on this has been, do not install it, because we know 13.1 is coming, and I don't mean it's out there on the horizon, because if 13.0 is out long enough, we're going to end up with 13.1. No. Tuesday. It's entirely possible that by the time you hear this, it will already have happened. Tuesday, what is that, the 24th of September?
The 24th is the target. And I will commit to making the show available prior to this actually happening.
Because
we've spent a lot of time now talking about this, and I want to make sure the advice is relevant for our listeners.
iOS 13.1 will be released on Tuesday, and so just wait. The people I know who have done, who are doing more consumer grade stuff, common things, easy things, sort of lighter weight things that involve interacting with different applications, those folks have been much, much happier with 13.1. This is one of those occasional times when I swing by Facebook and put up an update that starts out family. And so I do this, I have to do this every September. And I said, wait on 13.0, put on 13.1. And I got a couple of people that were like, I heard the opposite, and the .1 is going to be, you know, .1 is way worse. But for general folks who are doing general things with their iPhones, all of the experience I've read about, and I know that the plural of anecdote is not data, is that it's much better to be on .1 than to be on .0. So please don't pull the trigger until Tuesday. And basically what I said on Facebook was, I would like very much if you would hold off. It's not going to blow anything up, but it could cause you problems that, you know, it could cause you issues. And if it does, you'll have to call me. And if you just wait until Tuesday, that probably won't happen.
The show is sponsored today by the band Till Tuesday. This is one of those extremely rare situations where we actually know when the .1 update is coming. There's no overriding compelling reason, you know, from a security or functionality purpose, for those 4 days to go to 13.0. We know, even though they may not be widespread or they may not affect you directly, we know that there are bugs and there are issues with 13.0.
Yes.
It has been speculated, I don't know if this was ever, you know, fleshed out, but I've seen speculation that the reason these phones, that 13.0 is being followed so immediately by 13.1, is that the hardware, which was finalized obviously months and months ago, had to ship with an OS.
Yes.
And the said shipments had to come from Shenzhen and China and go all around the world, but specifically to the United States, in an appropriate time
with
frame
something.
Where they, with something on them, where they could avoid the anticipated or the potential tariffs, increased tariffs that would be applied to U.S. citizens buying these phones from Apple because they're made in China, manufactured in China. So, mm-hmm. so there was a little bit of a geopolitical muddle that was driving that could have potentially been driving the schedule. Again, none of this is confirmed. This was simply right. simply some speculation that I saw. But given the extremely close proximity of these two OS versions, mm-hmm. and given the how atypical that is, normally a brand new OS ships with brand new devices, and there's a month, 2 months. I mean, there mm-hmm. might be a micro update, but a full point update,
yeah,
within 4 days is just strange.
And we always call them the second digit upgrade and the third digit upgrade. So going from 13.0 to 13.1 is a second digit upgrade, the one after the first decimal point. And if we were going yes. from, if we were talking about 13.0.2, that would be a third digit upgrade. And part of the reason, part of the rest of the reason that it makes more sense to wait is because of something logistical. And that is, when it's a second digit upgrade, those are significant. There's a lot of stuff packed into that update, and they are significant files to have to download. It's a significant thing to have to do. You have to wait for the whole thing to download. You have to wait for it to install. And there's a reason that it goes to 13.1, 13.2 instead of 0.0.1, 0.0.2, whatever. And it's because there's whole lot of stuff that comes into that.
Yeah, there's potentially new features, but there's certainly security updates. When I say point release, so what Kelly is saying, second digit, third digit, and I say point release, a release, a new version or a new release of the operating system is the big number, 11,
yes.
12,
the first
10,
number.
11, 12, the yes. first number. That's the release. A point release is the release that comes after the point, the decimal point.
Yes.
So those, they are substantial. Mm-hmm. But they're going to include a lot of stuff. What's so
but
weird about
well,
this?
Well, here's the thing, though, is that if you're going to go from 12 to 13, that's a big update.
Yeah.
And then going from 13.0 to 13.1 is a big update.
Still a big
so
update.
So don't do a big update now and do a big update again next week. Just do the one. Like,
yeah,
logistically,
you're just gonna have to,
it's just
back
easier.
Back up again and do yeah. all the stuff. By the way, PSA, back the F up.
Back that thing up.
Back the Frank up. shut the front door, back the Frank up. You do not ever want to be involved in an iOS upgrade without having a solid backup, but especially
no.
now. Especially
yes.
now. So
even
iCloud
more so.
Backup is great. iMazing backup, mm-hmm. iTunes backup,
mm-hmm.
you know, backup to your friend, backup to your mom, word to your mother, backup to your phone, backup to your Mac.
It's, yeah, I personally prefer to make sure that that backup is accessible to me. So I am team iMazing, because we all know when it comes to iTunes, I'm team Woodchipper.
wow. It's a little harsh.
Oh, I've held forth. I know. This was the biggest thing about Catalina. You should have seen my Twitter timeline meltdown after... they said, yeah, you know, you don't have to back up your phone in iTunes anymore. It just shows up in the sidebar. And now, you know, this is the thing that's happening and you don't have to do it in iTunes anymore. And I thought it was hallucinating. And then after that happened, because I've said for many years, iTunes needs to break up with itself. And in fact, if you Google that, you will find the editorial I wrote at Mac Observer about how iTunes has become the burrow, which is the Weasleys' house in Harry Potter. And as people needed more things, they just got bolted on, and it just turned into this weird structure of stuff we didn't really need. And I always said that the thing that I wanted to have happen most at an Apple event was for Tim to come out with this giant stack of paper and say, this is a printed copy of the source code for iTunes. And then I wanted him to turn to his left and feed it to a wood chipper. That was my fondest wish. Now that it's gone, I know that's never going to happen. So now my fondest wish is that at some point at 10 minutes to the before the top of the hour, when every watch in that auditorium lights up and says it's time to stand, that everybody stands up. I want someone very much to lead this rebellion. I don't know who. I don't know when. It is the thing I look for every time. Oh, it's quarter till. I'm waiting to see. And then they show the audience shot and everybody's just still sitting there. I'm like, no. And then I start wondering why Apple doesn't just build that break-in themselves. Hey, everybody's watch is going off. Let's stand up. You know, come on.
Well, you know what's funny is that there's going to be a Broadway revival. There's currently a revival, or was a revival in London, of the musical Company, Stephen mm-hmm. Sondheim Musical Company. It is coming to Broadway. Everybody's very excited. It's going to be amazing. That show includes the famous song Ladies Who Lunch, originally performed by Elaine, why can't I remember her last name? forget it. This is
I don't
what,
think
this
that's her name.
50 is like. Ladies Who
now
Lunch.
I'm just trying to think
song.
Of famous Elaines. And, you know, Lady Elaine. Elaine Stritch. Yeah.
It was Elaine Stritch, actually. Thank you for saying that.
Hey!
Nailed it. Although Lady Elaine doing it would have been fantastic.
These are the ladies who lunch.
My Fred Rogers as Lady Elaine Fairchild.
What I would like to tell you all about my new iPhone. My problem is, as a puppet, I can't wear it on either hand. I have to wear it as a belt around my waist.
Oh my god.
That's the watch, not the phone, of course.
Oh no.
We've broken Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a while, but we've done it. Anyway, what I was going to say about Elaine Stritch while Kelly is recovering, famously sang Ladies Who Lunch, the end of that song is when she shouts, everybody rise, everybody rise, everybody rise. So that's the end of that song. And if we can time it on Broadway, so that is at 10 minutes before the hour, beautiful, because then everybody will get the notification and stand up.
That would be amazing.
Lady Elaine's
now
watch.
I need you to go see it, and I need you to, yeah, Lady Elaine's Who Lunch.
So everything Elaine Stritch ever did, now done by Lady Elaine Fairchild. This is the project. This is the Twitter project I was involved in, the fantasy Twitter project I was involved in yesterday was what movie should the Muppets remake? And there have been a number of fantastic suggestions, but I have to say that the one I am emotionally invested in,
yes,
is The Hunt for Red October.
Give me a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Work it through. Because
okay.
For any number of reasons, one is Kermit the Frog, or Jack Ryan in that film basically is Kermit the Frog.
Yes.
He's a complete amphibian out of water. He doesn't know. He's blundering around, scared, anxious. And when I was tweeting about it, I referred to the film, The Hunt for Red October, by its initials, which are THFRO, which is the middle of the words Kermit the Frog. You literally can't spell Kermit the Frog without THFRO. It's meant to be. It's just meant to be. Anyway, that's all pointless. The thing I was gonna say is I did get to spend some time with my family last weekend in Massachusetts. We were celebrating my stepfather's 80th birthday, so I want to say a very, very happy belated birthday to Bob Perlman. Congratulations on this amazing milestone. Also, happy belated birthday to my sister Alana, who celebrated the day before in all August. Right. Happy belated birthday to my sister Ashley, who celebrated the day before me. And happy belated birthday to me,
hey.
Which I'm glad to still be here. And yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
And we're both glad. And we're glad for all of you. We did shout outs earlier in the show. But for now, we can say, before Mike goes on with his midlife crisis, Kelly, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. You should find me on micro.blog as Verso. And you can also find me weekday mornings hosting the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast over at macobserver.com. I also occasionally pop up on podcasts over at The Incomparable as well, where we are bringing back both the Masked Singer podcast that I do with Moises Chuan and Kathy Campbell, which is called, are you ready?
Yes.
Musical Fursonas.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Thank you, Moises, like for that beautiful title. We are coming back with season two when season two starts next week. And also, Don Melton and I are spinning up the Westworld podcast. So if you like your robots dark, we are here for you.
And you can find me on the Twitters at Mike T. Rose. You can also find me at micro.blog blog at Mike T. Rose. You will be able to find me physically, briefly in Oklahoma City next week and in Dallas for a couple days, and eventually in Northern California in the second week of October. And to all of our listeners who are of the Jewish persuasion, we wish you a Lashana Tova, a very happy new year. We will be back in just a couple of weeks with another episode of The After Show. We'll see you then.